This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Earlier this year, a catastrophic water shortage in Cape Town was in the news. You'll probably remember seeing images of Capetonians queuing at municipal taps, and there was much talk of day zero, the day the authorities might have to shut the taps off as the water ran out. 3 successive years of drought, the worst the area had seen in more than a century, had severely depleted reservoirs. By the end of 2017, as the peak of summer arrived in Cape Town, water levels were frighteningly low. City authorities fined citizens for using too much water and blamed climate change for the water shortage. But Professor Mike Muller from Wits University says that this is not fair. According to Muller, the hydrology models all predicted what was coming, and it was poor planning on the part of city authorities that was to blame for the water shortage. Climate change or not, says Muller, the crisis could have been averted if scientists' warnings had been heeded. Our reporter Lorna Stewart gave him a call at his Johannesburg office.
The models had certainly said to Cape Town that by 2015 they really should have increased their water supply capacity because they were reaching the limit of what could reliably be supplied. So the hydrology and the modelling did wave a red flag, but for a variety of reasons, the officials concerned decided, I would say, to take a risk. And it's always very risky to gamble against nature. Nature's got a very perverse sense of humour.
What would you expect them to be doing to increase supply? It sounds like if the rains don't come, Some water supply problems in the city are inevitable if there's no rain.
Well, speaking as a practitioner, what we do is in the case where there's variable rainfall and we're not sure, for instance, how we're going to supply during the dry season, we will build a dam, we will build storage, and we'll make sure there's enough water in storage to see us through the dry period. So a lot of this is about estimating how long the dry period will last and making sure that there is an ability to supply during that dry period.
It's a difficult balance, isn't it? Because this is a drought so severe that it would usually be only expected, well, I've seen several different numbers, but certainly a very unusual event. Do you really think the government should be expected to fund large, expensive infrastructure projects for something which might not happen?
I think, you know, that's precisely the argument that the Cape Town City Council used. They've now been able to see what happens when you take that kind of risk.
The model seems to have done, then, a good job of predicting what was to come to pass. But as the climate becomes more erratic and unpredictable, how well are existing models going to work there?
You know, I mean, this is an interesting technical problem, which is about how do you capture non-stationarity, i.e. changing conditions, in a model which you use with fixed data. And the answer is that you keep updating the data.
Even if climate change didn't cause this, could it have still played a role?
There are a lot of predictions about rainfall under climate change and suggestions that there are going to be more droughts rather than less droughts and more floods rather than less floods and more extreme floods rather than less extreme floods. Certainly for the Western Cape part of South Africa, the models do show that there will probably be less rainfall in the future than at present. We're not seeing that trend very strongly yet. Certainly, I don't know too many people who would say it is definitely happening, but the models are certainly very insistent, and these are the climate models. The climate models are very insistent that there will likely be less rainfall in the future. And that's one of the things that has to be taken into account in planning. If we can manage today's climate variability, and we have a very variable climate, we will probably be able to manage tomorrow's climate change quite effectively.
So what are the lessons to be learnt from Cape Town? What does Cape Town and what do other cities need to do to prevent another similar or even worse water shortage in the future?
On the technical side, we're in the happy position in South Africa of actually having a very good modelling system, if people would take notice of it, which puts the hydrology and supply options and demand projections together and makes recommendations about what's necessary. But what we're finding is that human behaviour, encouraging people to use less water, regulating how they use water, is actually almost as difficult as predicting hydrology in variable climate. People call it the soft side of the business. It's actually a much harder part of, in terms of how hard it is to make it happen. We've got to do the hard work of making sure we can predict and influence how people behave, because in the end, people's behavior actually has a very large influence on the systems that we try to manage.
There does need to be something of a longer view in all of this, doesn't there? I mean, some of the measures that I read about being taken to deal with the water shortage, buying bottled water, using disposable plates, cups, cutlery to save on washing up the water, running dehumidifiers to sort of extract water from the air, they all make sense in water terms, perhaps, but they're going to drive climate change. They're all energy intensive, aren't they?
And that's one of the reasons one doesn't want to see people running into emergency responses, which tend to do things which perhaps in the long term are silly and expensive. What the crisis has triggered is a lot now of the sensible responses that, by the way, were proposed almost 10 years ago. And it's a little sad to see this, but I think it's human nature. We hope to avoid the worst, and when it happens, we scramble to catch up. And that is, unfortunately, in many urban areas, the way that we address these long-term challenges. It becomes very inefficient for societies. You do damage to the infrastructure because it gets abused during these kind of shortage periods. It's not good for economic activity. Some of our farmers have had to sort of dig up vines and orchards. The tourist trade will take a year or two to pick up again. And it would be better for everyone concerned to do the right thing at the right time.
That was Mike Muller talking to our reporter Lorna Stewart. The Cape Town dams are twice as full today as they were this time last year, so the situation looks a lot better than it did a year ago, although of course no one is relaxing until they are full. Give Mike's comment piece a read over at nature.com/news.